Skype call 15 service. Please record your message. After the beep, please record your message.
After the beep, please record your message. After the beep.
Если вы слышали свой голос, значит, настроили Skype правильно.
Keeps the social wheels of our project turning and doesn't let anything get stuck in their spokes. She is Asia. She breathes life into the academic formula of grammar and static units of vocabulary, making them move and talk in her drawings. She is Landish. Who contributes weekly to your knowledge of outer world, aspects of science and tendencies of society with tiny bits he chips off the enormous bulk of information. He is Daniel. YouTube channel's popularity rises.
I think it's mostly me.
It's just us watching it over and over.
The 5th of May saw another military aggression against Syria, which is consumed in civil war, aggravating chaos in such a turbulent region as the Middle East. Late in the evening of that day, missiles struck military facilities in and close to Damascus, the capital of Syria. The missiles are most likely to have arrived from the territory of Israel. The reasons to think so are quite firm. Firstly, Israel has repeatedly committed so-called preemptive strikes at targets in different countries since 1967. Secondly, Israel hasn't commented on this particular attack, and silence is its visiting card. Thirdly, Iran has allegedly transmitted technologically advanced missiles Fatih 110 to a terrorist organization Hezbollah, and any military activity with the participation of Iran, Hezbollah, or Palestinian guerrillas is a direct threat to Israel's security and national interest. These ground-to-ground missiles are believed to be able to reach Israel's capital Tel Aviv from the territory of Lebanon, where Hezbollah's influence also extends. However, there are too many is believed, is supposed, and is alleged to say anything for sure.
Norland College in Bath, Somerset, which has been training professional nannies for the rich and famous since 1892, has added martial arts classes to its curriculum to meet the needs of modern wealthy parents. Parents worried about their children being held for a ransom or being chased by photographers are requiring their nannies to know how to deal with potential attackers, as well as master the traditional skills of first aid, sewing, and cooking.
If I, in the future, have children and I need a nanny to look after them, I will not pay extra money for a martial nanny.
Maybe you'll be one of those, you know, wealthy and famous and photographers who...
Hopefully.
And there will be photographers and people who wanted to steal your babies and to, you know, demand money. They probably want to have a nanny like that.
What can a nanny do against a group of people who have been planning the abduction of your precious child?
Well, you don't know. Maybe they train them. You don't know what they're trained by. Like. It's just maybe they have special agents.
Daniel is right. It's just the real world people. They just have nothing else to do. Yeah. Okay. My nanny can speak 3 languages.
Oh, that's nothing. My nanny
knows how to do karate. And my nanny can fly a plane, and my nanny, you know. So maybe something like that.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a competition between the parents.
So you have this image of a nanny, you know, like maybe not elderly, maybe middle-aged woman, yeah.
65, 70.
And she can, you know, do karate.
And attack.
An attack, yes.
I have found this piece of news on the Telegraph.
It says that there's been a research in the United Kingdom, and according to this research, Britain's happiest man has been identified, and in all likelihood, his name is Steve. He has blue eyes, and he's the happiest man in the country. And the fact is that this Steve is living close to Edinburgh.
Yep,
Scotland.
Yep.
So this is officially the place where the happiest man lives. So I'm going there.
60 years old. So your name is not Steve.
I'm sorry.
No, maybe if he's happy there, maybe I have an opportunity to be like a bit happier.
A bit happier.
Because I think that he has the reasons to be the happiest man.
So the happiest man is likely to be a 60-year-old married teacher. You're a teacher. You have to get married, change your name into Steve.
Alright.
Okay, we'll think about other.
Okay, what else do I have to do?
You have to become a man and you have to move to Edinburgh.
So I have to move to Edinburgh. I have to become.
You can become a man, but you cannot become a Scot.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Well.
Okay, so he is likely to have grey hair, blue eyes, wear glasses, and love spending time with his family and friends.
So a lot of changes.
Yep. by the way, women named Tina and Rebecca and men named Gary and Chris were more linked to doom and gloom, while people called Tom, Wendy, and Mary joined Steve in the happy category. There were also mentioned some happiest female names, such as Wendy, Leslie, Sandra, Mary, and Annie, and unhappiest female names, Tina, Rebecca, Allison, Caroline, and Emma. Among happiest male names are Steve, Norman, Tom, Alan, and Ken. Unhappiest male names are Gary, Chris, Mike, Mark, and Ian.
I wonder if these names have equivalents in Russia. Well, since I live in Russia, I want to name my children with Russian names.
You can name, if you have a daughter, I guess you can name her Anna. She'll be very happy. And if you have a boy, you can name him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do we have anything, Tom?
No.
Thomas. That's a wonderful. I love it.
How did they come up with it? Is it like just statistics?
I think yes. They asked random people whether they were happy, and they just maybe somehow made notes on the hair color of their eyes, and the guy says, "I'm very happy," and his name is Steve, and he's a teacher, and he's married. And then they asked, 100 people, and 50 of them were named Steve, and they were happy, and they were married and had gray hair. Maybe they just concluded that if you want to be happy, you have to have gray hair and blue eyes.
They say this Steve is very happy, but what about his wife? Is she
as happy? I think so. That's not mentioned.
I wonder why.
She's probably annoying. You know, happy people are very annoying, so probably she's like the most annoying.
Maybe she's the most unhappy. I bet.
I bet her name
her
is. Name what's
is,
her name?
Her name is Rebecca.
Yes.
I can't even see her. Rebecca. Very
Scottish woman.
Very Scottish. Red haired.
Yeah.
A bit
freckled.
Freckled, of course, even her back and her toes.
Everything
is freckled.
One giant freckle.
Yep.
Can you hear us well?
I can hear you perfectly.
I think that's what I'm doing to make you,
a person responsible for recording of the phone calls, because we obviously can't record them right now. Stable. Exactly.
I will perform this duty with highest honor.
And I think it will be very weird when I will. Will you collect combine?
All of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic quality! All right. Just at least some part of it will be in fine quality.
The Arctic region is endangered not only with the reduction of ice level, but also with the acidification of its waters. Global warming causes more and more anxiety with every passing year, as temperature in atmosphere is rising, and so is the amount of carbon dioxide. This element seeps from the air into the sea, thus making it harder for fish to reproduce, and subsequently for those animals who feed on fish to make it to another day. What's worse, cold water absorbs carbon dioxide more readily than warm water, making the Arctic especially vulnerable. Of course, as it is in any ecosystem, anthropological influence, while harming some part of species, benefits the other one. For example, certain types of seagrass seem likely to thrive with acidification. All in all, however, the whole complex of stresses, which include overfishing and habitat degradation, besides ice reduction and ocean acidification, threatens the fragile environment of the Arctic more than any other human activity does any other ecosystem.
I think you are right now a bit crazed about everything that is connected with Arctic. the examinations and the upcoming diploma?
It's my sphere of scientific interest. The Arctic is the only thing that ties me to the university, because I am, as you well know, I'm going for a master, and my master's degree will be connected with the Arctic, and if they don't allow me, well, they will lose me for good, and I will never become a scientist.
Well, what is it exactly that you study connected with the Arctic?
As I am major in international relations, I study how states behave in respect of the Arctic region, and the focus of my study is on the USA, Canada, and Russia, since they are one of the greatest powers, if not in the whole world, but in the Arctic. I investigate how they employ their resources in this beautiful and fragile region.
You'll have to travel there.
One day I might. And there is the Arctic University, which has branches in, if I'm not mistaken, in all so-called Arctic states. They are 8. Besides the US, Canada, and Russia, they are Iceland, Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. It's called the Arctic University, but it doesn't accept students. It accepts only scientists or future scientists.
So that would be better to call it an institution.
But since it's the only great educational facility that deals with the Arctic, it's called more triumphantly the Arctic University.
And where is the head branch? The head office.
I don't know. I haven't studied into the Arctic University in its structure, because I am not even a master now, and I'm not even a bachelor. Or I am a bachelor in some sense.
You get your master's, and then you can go there and join this institution of scientists.
I hope someday I might join, and I hope the scientists that are there all grow beards. And so I cannot imagine the Arctic University without bearded.
A lot of bearded men.
A lot of bearded men.
I think I will move there myself.
You are a professor of beardology.
Yes, well, and this is a perfect place to study bearded men. Yeah. Where else would
in
you
their
find
natural,
them?
In their natural habitat.
I think I might even, you know, prefer this Aptic University to Scotland. I don't want to become a... How old was he? The 60-year-old blue-eyed thief. Living close to Edinburgh.
But maybe those Arctic professors are even happier than Steve.
Yes.
So why won't they have a,
beard? Yeah, they have a beard. They study Arctic.
And they're all bachelors.
It's perfect.
For you.
For
and
me.
For them.
Everything fits. I think that I have just...
And they probably speak English.
Well, they must.
Because they have to.
Of course they do.
Yes, yes.
And I know that one of
I don't know if you heard it. We recorded a podcast about, you know, your perfect man. You know, what are your top requirements for...
And for Landish, the top requirement number one is...
That was number one!
It's number one!
You said
it's
number one!
You said,
really?
You said you don't even look at men who don't speak
no.
English.
No!
Your potential candidate. So that's why it makes it number one. So, and that means that those bachelors in the Arctic at least have passed the first,
yes,
the first requirement.
Okay, all right.
So.
And Asif was not that picky about...
Private matters. I too just cannot be with a woman, honestly speaking, who doesn't speak English, who doesn't know English even.
You see? Oh my god!
Ideal candidate English, it's a skill that can be acquired.
Wow.
So this is the first thing that you do with the man that you...
and what if he fails?
Oh, no restaurants, no dates,
no English!
Well, yeah, but it will take a lot of time. Just when you... he has to have this ability before you...
I understand. If he meets all other requirements...
It has to be prefabricated.
Yes!
See, like, sitting here, three of us, you, Landish, and Daniel! Just like,
oh yeah! because since I fell on the floor...
Now we are sitting on the floor.
We have your laptop. So it's like...
Daniel is a laptop.
Daniel is a laptop.
Or laptop is Daniel. But I'm impressed.
You're impressed with what?
With Daniel's words. He said that,
yeah,
for him, a girl must, his ideal girl must speak English.
Because you're going to, you know, watch films together. And, for example, I hate watching films with the translation, with the dubbed films. I wouldn't be able to watch films with that person.
Well, I understand, but...
We won't share the same ideals because there's a lot of influence coming from, you know, learning, knowing English and speaking English. And knowing a lot about the countries, the culture. And since...
I mean, for me that would be ideal, but that's not...
Ideal what?
If he speaks English.
Ah,
that would be...
If
awesome.
Yes.
That would be awesome, but it's not like a requirement. I still can...
I think it's quite realistic. There are a lot of people who speak English. Well, I wouldn't marry a man who doesn't speak Norwegian.
Yes. Well, it's not easy to find a man who speaks good English, the English I would like.
And you would like?
Yeah, because I'm pretty picky.
Oh, really?
because I just like my English, yours, and Daniel's. That's it.
Okay. So you decided just to give up. Yeah. Anyone will do.
Yeah. No one will meet our requirements anyway.
Yeah. Right.
My dog is bilingual.
Bilingual.
Yeah. She speaks English.
Yep, she does.
Maybe she should join our conversations from time to time.
She doesn't speak any language, but she understands English.
Okay. So when you say she's bilingual, that means that she speaks.
Well, that means that she understands.
No, bilingual.
Well, maybe she
speaks.
Barks in English. Okay, but that would not make any difference to us anyway. But she is bilingual because she was born and raised in the United States.
I suppose you can always distinguish American barking from British barking.
Yeah.
Woof. It's a British one. Woof, sir. Excuse me for my woofing. Saturday, the previous week, was the International Day of Star Wars. The date is not accidental. The thing is that the most famous phrase from this film, may the Force be with you, and the three words of which sound almost similar to May the Fourth. No, may the Force, May the Fourth. So the 4th of May is the day of Star Wars. This year, the fan community commemorates the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi, the third part of the original trilogy. Well, I just couldn't admit it.
Well, are you a fan of Star Wars?
I'm a great fan of Star Wars, and I wonder why you are not.
I think that you can't call yourself a fan of Star Wars if you haven't watched the original, all original.
You haven't? You haven't? Am I?
That's it. Criterion number.
Yes. I'm so
cheap. Hopefully.
No. Sorry.
You're out of the list.
You should have told him about it. You should have pretended.
Well, I can't. I can't lie.
Now that I can call myself a translator, I love the Star Wars even more because one of the characters, an android, C-3PO, is a perfect translator. He's a model because in the saga he speaks 6 million languages.
Oh.
Unreachable ideal.
Way to go. Well, so far so good. You speak Russian.
Yes, two and a half languages.
Already a lot of Slavic languages, you basically know them.
Polish,
yeah. Then English, yeah, which is close to German.
And French,
yeah. So
pretty close.
Yes, you speak almost all Roman and Germanic languages, so yeah.
You still have to learn Chinese, and which means that you automatically learn Japanese and Korean,
well,
and Vietnamese.
Yeah. If there were listeners who actually emailed us, yeah, we'll probably have received a lot of hate emails right now. but since there are
no listeners,
no such listeners, I think that we are fine.
I think Ukraine especially upset when the
when they
not just compared when you say that
it's basically Russian.
It's basically Russian. I think they get really pissed off.
Oh, now I have the tool to piss
off
to
your grill.
Do you watch Star Wars?
No, not.
Do you watch sci-fi in general?
Do you know my favorite sci-fi?
Sliders!
I remember that. I love it.
And it's still my first and only love when it comes to sci-fi. But I think that it's in my list, the Star Wars.
Mm.
But maybe the time hasn't come yet.
Right now it's number one for me.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to get back into the list.
Exactly.
You You like the beard, you speak English. Basically, you're very close to being...
The thing that's left is just watching the...
Just watch and rewatch and retell and learn by heart. And then you will have no choice.
Yes!
Basically, you'll have choice too. You'll have
to. Yeah. Okay.
Who says goodbye? Goodbye?
What?
I don't know. Who says it? What dialect is it? Boy?
Boy?
Boy? Boy? Boy?
Is it Irish?
I don't know. Just heard it somewhere.
Yeah? Boy?
Boy? Boy?
Mm-hmm. That sounds like Irish, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the Canadians, they talk something like, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yes, they add that weird sound at the end of every sentence. Canada is the happiest country in the world, eh?
I don't really know a Canadian accent. I never even communicated with them. I have no idea what kind of people they are.
I know it's a regular thing in the internet that they're very polite.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
We shall see.
French is their second official language, maybe. That's why.
We shall see who laughs last. Because in the Arctic region, Canada rules.
I hope that for the next week I will prepare the end of Kim Jong-il. Yeah, the adventures of... Oh, Kim Jong-un, sorry. I've already started to
forget. Yes, so fat,
yes. because I think... And then I will move on to our regular feature, the Beardology. for which we today did not have time. And
we probably talk about beards, dogs, for example.
Dogs, bees. do they have beards?
Terriers, yeah. They have a beard.
Okay, it was very nice to hear you again, Daniel. Sorry for all the noise and the disastrous quality of the first part of this podcast. And I hope that starting from the next one is going to be much better.
Have a wonderful evening.
Yes, and good luck with your exams, although I know that you will not need it.
Yeah, good luck from me too.
Thank you. My ladies.
Right, bye.
Okay. See you.
So long.